Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Today, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod commemorates St. Silas, fellow worker of Paul, Barnabas, Timothy, and Titus. That is, unless you are a recovering Roman Catholic, then you will celebrate a Mass in his honor on July 13th. Or if somehow later in life you choose to become a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America or her sister body, the Episcopal Church, if so, you would have already by now remembered this saint on January 26th. We first hear of him in the book of Acts and the events surrounding the First Jerusalem Council. At issue, does the Gentile convert need to be circumcised? But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." Acts chapter 15. And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, interesting, the Greek records this verse as follows: "Having taken place therefore commotion," or stasios, which can also be translated a riot, uproar, or insurrection. Yes, it seems the truth matters. The Word of God can never be compromised. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The fact that each and every one of you are saved by the grace of God alone never changes. And each of us must stand ready to die for that message. All too often, there are those who call themselves Christians who would treat the gospel like a Christmas tree, hanging prerequisites like ornaments all over it. Sure, the law matters. We must never forget that. We are not antinomians, even if it is Wednesday evening. Without the law, we would never see or realize the need for salvation. Salvation that is only found on the cross of Jesus Christ. And we would certainly stumble through life claiming to do it our way, my way. Faith plus works of any kind can only lead to confusion, heartache, uncertainty, despair, and ultimately damnation. For example, when we put the reading we heard today from St. John into the broader context, we learn that a group of Pharisees and scribes had brought a woman to Jesus who had been caught in adultery. And wanting to stone her, pursuant to the law, the Pharisees asked our Lord what he would have them do. His response: "Let him who is without sin cast the first stone." And for the woman, our Lord doesn't tell her it doesn't matter. He doesn't tell her it's okay, go back to your friend's husband. No, he says that he will not condemn her. Then he tells her to repent, to go and sin no more. Now back to Jerusalem and the council. Paul and Barnabas were appointed to go up to Jerusalem from Antioch to discuss this question of circumcision with the apostles and the elders. And after much debate, Peter stood up and said to the men, "Brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving to them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between them and us, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke, or the law, on the neck of the disciples that neither your fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, just as they will. The council drafted a letter, sent it to the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, clarifying issues of faith, forgiveness, grace, mercy, and the ways of Moses. Note, the message wasn't go ahead and do it your way. No, the message was this: for it seems good to us, they wrote, to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements, that you abstain from things polluted by idols, and from blood, and from things that have been strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you shall do well. The first stop was Antioch, where the word of the Lord was proclaimed and taught to the congregations, and the message was received with much relief. Just the gospel, no mingling, no strings attached. Can you just imagine the joy of hearing the clear message that in the gospel of Jesus Christ, your sins have been forgiven? You have been reconciled to the Father, and you have been given the gift of everlasting life, based solely and completely on the sacrifice of God's only Son on the cross, God in himself, God's flesh being nailed to the cross. The message that when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we, you and I, might receive adoption as his own sons and daughters. The message that Christ was crucified in the flesh, nailed to the cross of Calvary in your place and my place, whether you are circumcised or uncircumcised, whether you chose to do it your way or not, whether you chose to let him enter your heart or not, everything needed for the salvation of man was completed on that day when Christ spoke these dying words from his cross. It is finished. It is finished. That is the message that the disciples were eager to take to the entire world. Now, after a few days of preaching, Paul thought they should go back and travel through every place that he had planted a church to make sure that message was not being mingled and to check on their welfare. Now, Barnabas wanted to take Mark with them. However, this seemed to be a sore spot with Paul, reminding him how Mark had abandoned them for some unknown reason on the first trip. What happened next might be the story of any one of us sitting here in this chapel today. Scripture says a sharp disagreement arose, and the two parted ways. Sounds familiar. What happens when you don't get your way? So often, we take our ball and we go home. Paul and Silas met up with Timothy and continued to carry out the marching orders of the council. Maybe the most interesting story of Silas takes place shortly after he and Paul departed ways with Barnabas, and they are preaching the word of the Lord in Philippi, where they encounter a slave girl possessed with some type of evil spirit, which she would use to predict the future, some sort of carnival sideshow act that her owner would use to make money. As the woman followed Paul and Silas, yelling, "These are the servants of the Most High God," who proclaim that they have the way of salvation. For days and days, this crazy woman followed the apostles, mocking them and causing a commotion when finally Paul, as if jumping out of the boat, had enough and exercised that spirit in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the spirit left her. When her owners realized the freak show was over, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them in front of the rulers. "These men are Jews," they said, and accused them of advocating practices that Romans don't follow, thus creating a disturbance. The magistrate ordered the crowd to beat them with rods, and they were taken to jail, where the jailer was ordered to keep them safe. So he took them to the innermost bowels of the prison and placed them in leg irons. About midnight, the two prisoners were praying and singing to God, and the other prisoners were listening when suddenly a great earthquake shook the entire prison, down to its foundation, we are told, and immediately the cell doors flew open and everyone's restraints were unfastened. Sounds to me like Good Friday when the earth shook and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. When the jailer woke up and saw that his prison was unsecure, he drew his sword in an attempt to kill himself. Yet Paul cried out, don't, for we are all here. The jailer rushed in, trembling, and fell before the two and cried, Sir, what must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Imagine that. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. No mention of circumcision, no mention of works, no mention of asking the Lord to enter his heart, no ornaments to be hung on the tree of life. No, just the gospel, the good news that Christ was crucified for your sins. And all one must do is believe and be saved. The two preached the gospel to the jailer. His family believed, and everyone was baptized. A challenge most certainly faced by Paul, Silas, Timothy, Barnabas, and Mark, as well as every pastor today, is to take whatever situation is downrange and to deal with it. To never take the crosshairs off of his cross, the cross of Jesus Christ, the one who said, "In this dark and dying world, I am the light of the world. Whoever believes in me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Dear friends, the message here is straightforward. You never know when, where, or how the Lord will use you. So please, like the saints of old, stand ready to preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and love. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the grace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.